Well, the scripture that we'll be looking at this morning is in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and we'll be looking at the first four verses. But we will back up a bit to give us the feel of this section. And we'll start the reading up at verse 15 of chapter 5 and then read on through verse 4. So either just listen or read along to this portion of God's Word. This is Ephesians 5:15 through 6:4. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, that I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. As we've been working through chapter 5, and now I'll turn to chapter 6, we're really keeping the same theme as Paul goes from different subjects and talking about submission, talking about living out the implications of being born again, of being set apart from the ways of the world. And he does that in different areas of life. He's already talked to husbands and wives, and here addresses children and parents, and he'll go on to discuss or deal with the slaves and masters as well. And so he addresses both parties this morning. So children will be addressed and parents as well. And so let's get to this and see how the Lord calls on us to live before him. You know, the implications of being set apart. First, children, obey your parents in verses 1 through 3. We do start this new topic, and we're dealing with the issues of submission that we started back in chapter 5, verse 21. He said to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so those who are called to submit here are our children. This is about, again, our reverence for Christ. This is about serving him as Savior and Lord. And so really, it's about submitting to him. And in submitting to him, children are to submit to their parents. Paul says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The first thing, and maybe this is too obvious, but the first thing we ought to notice here is that there are children in the Ephesian congregation. And Paul is addressing children as those who are under the Word of God and those who need to be spoken to. They're spoken to here as members of the congregation, as those who are responsible for obedience. And so there's something to be said for that, that he does expect children to be in worship. And he expects them to hear the Word of God read, and he expects them to obey it. Children are called upon here to obey your parents. Paul has been concerned for a while now in the book about bringing the new life to bear in relationships, and he's talking about that in many different ways. And he's certainly bringing the parent-child relationship here to bear, because it is very important. It's very basic to the life of the church. It's very basic to the life of families, to society, to each of us as individuals. He tells us here that children are to obey, which is a stronger word than submit, which is what wives were instructed to practice toward their husbands back in 5:22. Children are to obey. God has given children to their parents, and parents have authority over you in the Lord. And you are to respect and obey Christ by respecting and obeying your parents. Their rule over you, their care for you, their responsibility over you is given by Christ. In Romans 1, Paul points out the sins of the natural man, the sins of those outside of Christ. And in that list, he includes something that's very striking and includes our subject this morning. In Romans 1, Paul says, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper, but being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, innocent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. That's always struck me as I've read chapter 1 of Romans, that oftentimes people think of a child's disobedience to parents as something kind of cute, something that's not really a big deal, something that really isn't very important. But Paul describes it in Romans chapter 1 as part and parcel of what it is to be outside of Christ, that it's the behavior of the old man, it's the natural behavior of those in Adam and outside of Christ. And so we must not look at obedience to parents as some unimportant thing. As we live in the family and as we grow up, it probably is the key sin that shows that we are sinners. It is the most glaring sin, most likely, of children to show that they need Christ. Because we all sin, and we all in growing up will be disobedient to parents. And so it's an important thing to recognize that children as well are under the law of God, and this is a sin that will come to your attention, hopefully in God's grace, and lead you to Christ. Disrespect for them is a sin against God. Disobedience to them is a sin against God, and a disrespect for Christ. Romans 13 tells us, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And so God has established order in government, and he's established order in the family. And so parents are in charge, and children are to obey their parents. Of course, we do need to qualify this. that this does not mean that parents are to be obeyed if they are commanding you to sin, if there is abuse of a sinful nature going on. Certainly there are, that is to not to be obeyed. Peter says to the governing authorities in Acts 5 and 29, when they command him to sin, we must obey God rather than men. But, as the overarching rule, parents have authority over their children, and children are to obey their parents. And he says in our verse that this is right. And he backs it up in verses 2 and 3 with a quote of the fifth commandment. And he quotes from Deuteronomy 20 and 12. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It's important to note that this is the first commandment to deal with relationships between people. The second table of the law, the first four commandments deal with God. The second table, the next six, deal with relationships between humans. And this is the first one. And that's not coincidental. How we act toward our parents will be very important to see how we treat authority beyond that. They are given as the primary authority over you as a child. And so this is a very important relationship, certainly the most important until you leave home. Covenant children are to respect Christ's rule and care over you by respecting your mom and dad's rule and care over you. You are to obey them and submit to them in the Lord. And notice that there is a blessing attached here. It's the first commandment with a promise attached to it, Paul tells us. And that is that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. There is punishment for rebellion. And oftentimes sin is its own punishment. Things will not go well if you are rebellious against your parents because, and we've all seen this in life, or at least the adults have, people who are rebellious against their parents grow up to be people who are rebellious against all kinds of people. It's the beginning of a rebellious spirit, of a rebellious attitude, of kicking against authority. And that's not a life that is pleasing to God. And it's not one that He will bless. And it's not one that is actually, even on a human-to-human level, one that is a way of having good human relationships. If you're kicking against your parents and rebelling against them, chances are you're going to have problems with your boss. Chances are you're going to have problems with all kinds of people as you get out into the wider world. Proverbs 13 and 15 says, good understanding produces favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Life is hard if you're sinning against people all the time, if you're rebelling against your parents, and if you're rebelling against authority beyond your parents. Proverbs 6 says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. Our verse reminds us that as a rule, to be obedient to our parents is a blessing, will lead to a longer, more peaceful life. Disobedient children do foolish things and grow to be adults who do foolish and disobedient things, which tend to shorten life, and again, are not under God's blessing. And so you are called upon to obey your parents. As I did last week, I've adapted the larger catechism to the subject at hand, and found this to be helpful as I thought about it, and hopefully helpful to you children as you think about the subject at hand. The larger catechism, 127. The honor which children owe their parents is all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior. That is, don't fake respect for them. Do it from the heart. It's to be done from the heart. All due reverence in heart, word, and behavior. Let your respect for Christ be seen in your respect for your parents. You're to owe your parents prayer and thanksgiving for them. Do you give thanks to the Lord for your parents, even with their faults and shortcomings? Do you pray for them, for their blessing, for their relationship to the Lord, that they would be a blessing to you? Imitation of their virtues and graces. Do you try to copy their good and godly qualities? Willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels. Do you argue with your parents? Do you talk back to your parents? Do you disobey your parents because you don't like what they're telling you to do? If you do, then that is sin, and you ought not to be doing it. Repent to the Lord and change your attitude towards your parents. You're called upon to obey their lawful commands and counsels. Do submission to their corrections. When they correct you, do you listen? Do you change your behavior? If they point out a sin, do you repent of that sin to the Lord and then seek to change? Not most of all for the sake of your parents, but for the sake of Christ. Faithfulness to them in defense of their persons and authority. Now, it is common for children to complain about their parents. I guess that comes along the older you get. And that is encouraged by our culture. In television and movies, parents are what? Parents are stupid. Parents are fools. And children are the ones that are wise and really know what's going on. Really? Are you being faithful to them? Do you defend their persons and their authority? Do you speak well of your parents among your brothers and sisters and among your friends? Bearing with their failings and covering them in love so that you may be an honor to them. Your parents have inconsistencies and weaknesses and sins. Not a surprise. But how do you deal with them? Do you cover them? Do you forgive them? Do you talk ill of them to others? You would not want them to be doing that about you, talking about your disobedience to others. Why would you talk about their failings and complain about them to others? Cover them and honor them. And in all of this, I pray that God will use His law and convict you of your sins. If you are a child here and have grown up in this church, I can say confidently from what you've heard at home and from church that you have heard the gospel a lot. But you still need to act upon it as an individual. If your sins as a child toward your parents are convicting of you, that might mean that you need to come to Christ. Have you ever done that? Have you just grown up in the church and not taken Christ as your own? That's a good question to ask, because you're a sinner. And growing up in the church doesn't mean that Christ is yours. You need to take Him and trust in Him yourself, personally. If you have already done that, then your obedience to your parents is also probably one of the things that will point out your own sins to you as a believer. And that is why Paul puts this portion here in Ephesians. Now, seek to grow in that area. Seek to grow in righteousness and obedience to your parents. Second, parents, nourish your children in the Lord. Children are told to obey their parents. But parents certainly also have responsibilities to the Lord inside families. And Paul briefly mentions them here. The first thing we notice is that although children are told to obey their parents, in verse 1 here Paul writes to only one parent and says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, that does not mean that mothers are allowed to exasperate their children or that they take no role in the training or instruction of the children. No, certainly the broader scripture tells us that that is new, that is not true. Proverbs 1 and 8 told us, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Parents are a team. But Paul is certainly recognizing a husband and father's headship, calling on him to carry out his responsibilities for what happens in the home, and for him to set the tone in parenting. And so, in that sense, he here represents both parents in his headship. And Paul then starts out by telling parents, "Do not exasperate your children." The Greek word that's behind the English word here, exasperate, means to make angry or provoke to anger. Fathers and mothers are reminded here that we can act in ways that can bring an angry response in our children. And we are liable for doing that. We ought not to be acting in ways that provoke anger in them. Now, the command here also assumes that a proper and godly and authoritative parenting can be done without deliberately provoking our children to anger. In practical terms, A.T. Lincoln comments that parents must avoid excessively severe discipline, unreasonably harsh demands, abuse of authority, arbitrariness, unfairness, constant nagging, and condemnation, subjecting a child to humiliation, and all forms of insensitivity. Now, those things are not only wrong, they're not productive, and they actually lead to greater problems in parenting rather than help the child to grow or build him or her up. Paul continues that a parent's task is to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The word translated "bring them up" literally means to nourish. And John Calvin comments that it conveys the idea of gentleness and forbearance. We are to cherish our children and enjoy them and care for them in a gentle way and remember that although they do need correction, they are fragile. They are not little adults. And we need to help to raise them to maturity with guidance and with gentleness. We are to bring them up, to nourish them, to feed them, to oversee their growth, to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We're reminded there that we are to be gentle, but we're not to be so gentle, so warm and fuzzy that we neglect our duty to train them. Calvin again comments, "It is not the will of God that parents, in the exercise of kindness, shall spare and corrupt their children." And so we are to find that balance in raising them in correction, in guidance, in what is right and what is good, and to do that in a way that is encouragement to their growth and not harsh and hard. Training and instruction, as Paul gives them here, are similar words, slightly different definitions. A training refers to the overall education of a child. It's used in Acts 7 and 22 of Moses. Moses was trained in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. So it's all of those things that you need as you grow, instruction in the things of the world, as well as the things of God. That's training. Instruction is more of a sense of guidance that parents give at a time of correction, or what do we call that, a teachable moment. The lexicon defines it as counsel about avoidance or cessation of an improper course of conduct. And so that's when you have to pull your child aside and say, no, stop that, and here's why. Yet notice that all of this is to be done in the Lord. Parents are to be doing all of this not merely to raise an obedient child, and not merely to raise a good citizen and an honorable adult, although those things are good things. The most important goal is for parents to lead in ways that point your child to the Lord, that point your child to Him and their need to trust in Christ to salvation, to grow in their knowledge of God's Word. And so our instruction is to be in the Lord. It's to be toward the Lord. When parents take the vows of covenant baptism, we say, do you believe this child is a possession of God entrusted to your care? In this light, do you promise to provide for his temporal well-being, to teach him the love of God and His Word, the Bible, and to provide him with a God-centered education? Do you promise to teach him of his sinful nature, of the plan of salvation, which centers in Jesus Christ, and his own personal need of a relationship with Christ? And so the other vows flow from that, and keeping the Lord's Day, and teaching them the Word of God, and bringing them to church and enjoying their membership here. We are to lead our children to Christ, to train them in the Scripture, to show them their need of salvation. And we are their primary contact with Christ for a long time. We're the ones that bring them to church. We're the ones that bring them the Word at home. And so we are to be praying for that end, that most important end, that they would take Christ as their own. We cannot save them. We are not the Holy Spirit. But they are entrusted to us, and we are to bring them to Christ. Sinfully harsh or inconsistent Christian parenting does not help and is not helpful in bringing them to Christ. And so we are to be praying for our own parenting, that we would be faithful to Christ and be faithful to our children. Deuteronomy 6 reminds us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." And so it's to be part and parcel of our lives lived out with our children, that we live the Word of Christ in us, that we live out our own salvation, and that we bring the fruit of that to our children. If your kids do know Christ, then seek to have them grow in Him, and to see all that you example before them. It is good when we fail as parents, when we sin, to repent in front of your children. If your sin is against your child, to repent to your child and to pray in front of them. They need to see that we also need Christ and that we have come to Him for our own salvations, and bring our children as well to their need of Christ. And so we all, as parents and children, are to remember to grow in grace and to grow in our love and service to the Lord. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 tells us, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Let's pray together. Lord God, we do praise you and thank you for this portion of your word and ask that you would apply it to our hearts. We pray for the children gathered here, that they would be obeying their parents, that they would bring peace to their own lives and to their families by a faithful obedience to their parents, and see this as faithful obedience to Christ. We pray that they would as well be brought to salvation in Christ. We thank you for the blessings of growing up in the church and in Christian families. And so we pray a thanksgiving for that. But we also recognize that all of the children here must take Christ for themselves and trust in Him themselves for their own salvation. And so we pray that you would be at work in the hearts of the children here by your word and spirit, that you would in due time bring them to trust in Christ. We pray that parents here as well would be trusting in Christ and would be serving Him in our parenting. We are aware of our faults and our shortcomings, and we pray that we would be improving and seeking to improve as parents, and that we would seek to be blessings to our children in their knowledge and growth of the things of the world, for sure, but most importantly, in their knowledge and growth in Christ. And we ask all of these things in His name. Amen.